Good morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, Finn at OffbeatOregon.com, and this is the Daily Offbeat Oregon History Podcast. Thank you for loading me down and queuing me up, and I hope you enjoy the show. This story was first published on May 2nd of 2009 under the headline, Oregon's Liberty Ship Factory, Building 'em Faster Than Hitler Could Sink 'em. Here we go. Most Oregonians have some idea of what Liberty ships were. Simple, steam-powered freighters built with frantic speed and in staggering numbers by American shipyards during World War II, with the stated goal of building them faster than Hitler's boys could sink them. In this, they were wildly successful. American shipyards cranked out roughly 2,750 of these ships during the first 5 years of the 1940s, during which time the minions of Messrs. Hitler and Tojo only managed to sink about 200. One was actually built in just 4.5 days. And these weren't small ships. Each one was 441 feet long and 56 feet wide, could lug 18 million pounds of jeeps and airplanes and soldiers and anything else without being overloaded, which, by the way, they frequently were. A 2,500-horsepower steam engine pushed them to a pathetic but adequate 11 knots. Liberty ships were not exactly objects of beauty. President Franklin Roosevelt at one time referred to them as a, quote, dreadful-looking object, and most people thought he was right. They were considered expendable and not expected to last more than 5 years. But they were more than just cannon fodder. One of them drew first blood on the water during World War II when it sank a German raider in an old-fashioned gun battle in 1942. There was a war on, so many of the ships went to sea bristling with cannon barrels, some as big as 5 inches. The Jeremiah O'Brien, moored on display in San Francisco Bay, is one such. There would have been a lot fewer of these ships, though, had it not been for the man who owned the Oregon Shipbuilding Corporation in Portland, Henry Kaiser. Kaiser owns 7 shipyards around the country, including the Oregon one. What made the local yard special, though, was that it was set up specifically to produce Liberty ships, and it was set up in the most efficient way possible, like an assembly line. In just under 4 years, Portland cranked out 455 of these. In other words, a brand new freighter was getting a champagne bottle broken over its bow roughly every 3 days. It all ended, of course, with the war. The shipyards were shut down. The ships they produced soldiered on for years, but just 2 survived today, and both are museum ships. The John W. Brown and San Francisco's Jeremiah O'Brien. To keep the shipyard workers housed, Kaiser bought 650 acres of farmland in the Columbia River floodplain and diked it and filled it with houses and apartment buildings, and the place became known as Kaiserville. Then they renamed it Vanport. Like the Liberty ships themselves, Vanport was not expected to survive World War II, but it did for a few years until a rotten railroad trestle washed out in a 1948 flood and let the river roar in. That flood was the biggest since 1894, and you can still today see the high water mark on buildings in downtown Portland where they've been marked. The water was 2 feet deep there. Longtime residents of Springfield remember when salvaged buildings from Vanport were trucked down the valley and set up there shortly after that town washed away. Key sources in this story have included works by Bill Gulick, the American Merchant Marines at War website, and the Oregon History Project. Well, that's our show for today. Thanks again for listening, and I hope you enjoyed it. This podcast is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. Check out our hub page at offbeatoregon.com to explore all the other things we do. You'll also find there visuals to go with today's story and also full citations to the sources for this story. This podcast is covered under a Creative Commons license. For the details of that, see offbeatoregon.com/cc. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band and was written by Carmen Ficarra. Listen and download more at atlasstringband.com. Got an idea for a show I should do? Drop me a line at finn@offbeatoregon.com. Also, let me know if you're ever going to be in Corvallis with the time for a cup of coffee or a pint of hammerhead. Fresh episodes of Offbeat Oregon History come your way at around 6 a.m. every weekday morning, so if you're looking forward to the next one already, you haven't got long to wait. until then, go out and fill up the rest of today with good stuff. Bye now.